Welcome to the National Awakening Conference Call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I'm the National Field Director for STANS, and here's your host, Bishop E.W. Jackson.
Thank you, Marlon, and thanks, everybody, for joining us. We really appreciate you all taking your time, and we are honored, really, to have guests on who we know are making an impact, making a difference in our country. We're not at the point yet where we've kind of redeemed our country back from the brink, but there are people who are really putting their all into it, and our guest is one of those people. So we're going to introduce him in just a moment, but first of all, as always, of course, let's begin with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, we are, as always, so very grateful to be Americans. We know the dire condition our country is in, particularly spiritually and morally, but Lord, we also know, Lord, that we are still head and shoulders above the other nations of the earth. And most importantly, we know that there are millions of born-again believers across this nation interceding in our behalf and in behalf of our country, asking you to have mercy upon us, to pour out your spirit upon us, to give us revival, to give us another great awakening that would turn the hearts of our citizens back towards you, back toward the principles that made America great in the first place. America didn't become great simply because our founding fathers were brilliant, and they were. But we know that America became great because of the hand of blessing that was on our country. And the hand of blessing on our country was the result of people who pioneered this nation, who put their faith in you first. We've never been perfect at it because no people ever have. But Lord, nevertheless, they've always tried to keep you in the forefront and let the world know that we are a nation who believe that our rights, our liberty, don't come from the beneficence of a human hand or a tyrant or a despot. They come from Almighty God. And Lord, that has been a stabilizing bulwark for liberty in this nation that has held us in good stead for nearly a quarter of a millennium. And so we are very grateful. But Lord, we face some serious challenges. Our guest today is seeking to address them. The leaders on this call are seeking to address them. President Trump is seeking to address them. And people all over this country, Lord, who put their faith in you are seeking to address these very dire problems that we are in. And they begin with the spiritual and the moral, but they get the law and order and the breakdown of any kind of order in our cities. And that's spreading even beyond the cities into the suburbs and even into rural areas. We've got our border completely overrun because the rule of law has broken down and nobody cares about the law anymore. They only care about their political agenda, at least the left that is engineering this. They don't care about the law. They only care about their political agenda. Lord, we've got children being told that their gender is not fixed, that it's malleable, and they can sort of pick up and choose on any given day what gender they want to be. We are losing our collective minds. And so, Lord, we really need your help to call people back to a sense of sanity. And we're believing that our country as a providential nation is not going down, that it's going up, no matter what it looks like right now. But we know that that's not going to happen automatically. It's going to require our stewardship, our diligence, our commitment to the principles that made America great. And so, Lord, we thank you and praise you that even though we do face these great challenges, we are filled with hope and optimism for the future because of the God we serve. And so we pray you bless these leaders on this call, bless our guest today, Daniel Bernard, and Lord, just continue to move in a mighty way in the hearts of all of the people of this nation that would ultimately find our way back to spiritual and moral sanity and stability. And we give you the praise, the honor, and the glory for it in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, folks, my guest today is a dear friend, as well as being a great leader in our country, Dr. Daniel Bernard. You've got his bio in the email that we sent, so I would suggest you review that because it would take a long time to go through all of that. Needless to say, God has used him tremendously. He's the author of several books. I mean, he has pioneered several ministries across the country. He runs Somebody Cares in the Tampa Bay area. And, of course, he's here today to talk about this this prayer ministry that he has founded, that I've been honored to be able to participate in, the 50-day fight, a daily prayer call leading up to these elections. And Lord knows, as I said in my prayer, we need divine intervention. So with that, Daniel, thanks for joining us here on the National Awakening Call. The floor is yours.
Oh, thank you, Bishop. I appreciate it. Thank you for having me today. You know, if you don't mind, I'm going to just quickly just allude to my most recent book called The Proven Plan. Just because that's such a – we're talking about changing a nation, and I think, as we know, that we've been in leadership crisis for some time in America. And when we – I'd just like to – the viewers, just think back, pull back and look at – our nation today. We know that the mega churches are growing, and yet Christianity as a whole is declining in America. And we have to start thinking in terms of if some of those churches are growing to an extent, and yet we have less and less impact on our culture, especially this culture that we're engaged with today. You have to begin to think about then. What is wrong with the product that we're producing as a church in America? Because Jesus said that we would be the light of the world. He said that we'd be the salt of the earth. In other words, we would be people who would impact. But rather what we find is that the culture is impacting us rather than us impacting culture. So you eventually have to say, okay, what is it that we're producing? And have to take a look at ourselves and where have we, in a sense, made a wrong turn. And so that was the purpose of really the Proven Plan, because the Proven Plan takes us back to what Jesus did in developing and what in order to promote and to actually birth the church. And that is, he took 12 men and he discipled them. He lived with them. He ate with them. He talked with them. And, of course, he instructed them. He told them what to do. He showed them what to do. And then he said, now you go do it. And that very simple process is the very process by which, you know, you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. And and that's what this book is really all about. It's about helping us to get back to the very basics in order to develop, you know, the godly. It's geared more towards men, but, you know, it equals for a woman as well, because it's the very principles of just reproducing yourself. And so I just want to challenge everybody that the real basis in the strengthening of the church goes back to the fact that we were called first and foremost to make disciples. We weren't called to build churches. We were called to make disciples. The disciples were told to go and reproduce yourselves. And so in the same way, that's what we're looking to do, and that's what this call is as well. And I want to just challenge, if any pastor or leader is on here today, give your men especially a vision of actually developing their own spiritual family tree. Yeah, the spiritual family tree. In other words, in 2 Timothy 2:2, we know that Paul says, what you have seen or heard of me in the presence of many witnesses, commit thou to faithful men, that they might be able to teach others also. And so you have four generations there, and God's eyes are always on that fourth generation. You know, so you had Paul and Timothy, faithful men, and others. And so I just want to challenge and say you know, to our men, what if all your men in the church, that they would encourage and help each other to reproduce their spiritual family tree, even to the fourth generation? Would that not be a powerful church? And so, guys, that's exactly what we're really called to do. Because in the end of it all, you know, we can, I think one of the reasons in our final chapter of the book, I mentioned that basically we've been building an audience. An audience can't fight the war that we're in right now. And that's why we feel many times to be inept or unable to really penetrate the darkness. And so we have to turn that around and say, okay, we need to build the army of God. And so that's how you do it, in where we have life-to-life impartation, where one disciples another and imparts those truths, and, of course, in the very life that the Holy Spirit imparts to us, that we would share with others as well. And because in the end of the day, as Paul said to the Thessalonians, he said, you're my joy, my crown at the coming of the Lord, is that people are going to be your reward. And so can you say today, can you say that you've won people to Christ, and then you've actually been their spiritual father, if you will, or mother? and develop them to not only where they would be a disciple, but they would be a disciple who are making disciples. In other words, you would come to a place and you'd say, I have spiritual sons and daughters in the Lord, but I have great sons and daughters in the Lord. I mean, that's really the goal. And that's really the plan that Jesus had for us. You know, when Jesus in John 17:4, he said, Father, now glorify me as I've glorified you because I finished the work that you gave me. Well, he hadn't gone to the cross yet. So what was the work that he was referring to? Obviously, he's referring to, you know, developing those 12 men, of course, and even one of those was a bust, but developing those 12 men that to a place where that he could build the church around. And so I just want to challenge it. You can go to our website, sctb.org, and get the book, The Proven Plan. We have Bishop who's endorsed it. The foreword's done by the chairman of Promise Keepers, Ken Harrison, and many other people that Bishop has had on this call as well. So I just want to encourage you guys, leadership begins in the church, and we're going to change our country. And so just this is a great way that we can develop generational leadership through the proven plan that Jesus gave us. So, yeah, so let me just, if you don't mind, thank you, Bishop, for letting me share that real quickly. And
I'm glad you did, because you are right on target.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate that. There's a lot more I could share, but you know, we got a lot to cover today. So let me just go on. Hey, one of the things as far as, what we got coming on before the 50-day fight is that, of course, we have the National Day of Prayer. But what we have, in addition to just having the National Day of Prayer, even though we have churches coming together on both sides of the bay here, we have a group of 12 South Koreans who have been commissioned to come to America, whose pastor, I can't even pronounce the name, it's a long name, but it's Korean, so you have to forgive me for that, but it's there in Korea. It's 25,000 member church, and he has a heart for America, knowing that, over 51 years ago, Billy Graham had the great crusade there where over 3 million people attended, and he just, because of America blessing their nation with the gospel of Jesus Christ, he wanted to sow back into America in our time of need for revival and awakening. And so last year he sent 40 teams. This year he's sending 20 teams of South Koreans to America to pray strategically in these 20 different regions for revival and awakening. Now, Tampa Bay, through Somebody Cares, Tampa Bay is receiving these 12 Koreans, and we're praying strategically throughout the Tampa Bay area. And, of course, Houston, Laurel, Massachusetts, there's other places where they're coming, and so we are receiving one of those. And so I just wanted to share that so that people can we got missionaries coming to America, and they see the need for us to have this spiritual awakening, knowing how important our country is. And so I just wanted people to know that they can join up. They'll be here at least in Tampa Bay from April 30th through May 6th. And so we'll be praying every day. And these guys are powerful prayer warriors. We hosted them last year. And they'll be, of course, be doing the National Day of Prayer with us, but they'll be praying throughout the whole week. Each day they'll be doing 4 and 5 hour sessions of prayer. And when I say sessions, that means multiple sessions in a day. So they'll be doing at least 3 sessions in a day praying and at particular churches where we're asking the various people in that in those areas and their church communities to come together and pray along with them for those purposes. So, number one, if you can, pray along with them for that. Doug Small is the one helping to orchestrate these 20 cities. And so he's with Project Pray. So if you want to know more about that and so forth, of course, again, you can contact us at Somebody Cares Tampa Bay. But do pray along with us throughout that week, April 30th through May 6th. And then, of course, Bishop, as you mentioned, the 50-day fight. You know, I'll be honest with you, I was born on the 4th of July. And I just, especially when it came around with within the 2016 election, I just said, you know what, I feel like with my birthday being 4th of July, I just got to do something for our nation. And I didn't have any intention of it going on a national scale, but there was such great fervor for what was taking place in our country through the election that it just began to, go viral and snowball and go across the nation here. And, of course, great guests like yourselves who, and in fact, I think it was that year that you actually opened the 50-day fight with us at Suncoast Church there in St. Pete. And what we do pray 50 days. We'll actually be launching it with Dr. James Garlow, which I'm sure you know, and on September 15th, we'll be launching it that day. But we'll be praying for the next 50 days for state by state for the country leading up to our general election in November. And so what we do is that we're asking people that they would join us in prayer. We'll have various facilitators on a daily basis, and then we'll have different guests. Well, we've had Lieutenant Colonel Alan West, Michelle Bachman, David Barton, and many others, and, of course, our bishop here. And so, it's very exciting to know, to see and to begin to pray and believe, as Derek Prince said, that we can rule the nations from our knees. And so that's what we really believe, that our country needs this hope, that we as a church, as we rise up against, the scriptures tells us that when the enemy comes in like a flood, God will raise up a standard against it. Well, folks, we are that standard because Christ in us is the hope of glory. And so with Christ in us, by the Holy Spirit, we are that standard to rise up against evil in our day. And so that's what we need to do. And so the 50-day fight provides just a avenue for us to do that and do that collectively across the nation. So if you're hearing this today and you want to be a part of, especially when we pray for your state, please give us a call and let us know. We'll be excited to partner with you and have you on as one of our prayer people. And of course, we're looking for people because it's very difficult to do. We're a small outfit here, but once the primaries are done, we're going to be looking for those candidates who are Christian, number one, who are truly, if we can vet them as best we can to know that they're following the Lord Jesus Christ, and number two, if not Christians, then who does follow the biblical principles as closely as possible, that we could pray for and promote there through the 50-day fight. So we'll need help doing that as well. So if you know various candidates, and of course we as we are able to, we have the candidates on as well, and they'll share, and of course, and then we pray for them. So from local candidates to obviously those who are running for Congress, both House of Representatives and Senate. So, if you guys would like to join us in that, we're getting a good start. We don't start till September 15th, but now's the time to really prepare for this so that we can see. Of course, we don't put our hope in candidates, but we know that those very candidates, when the godly rule, the righteous rejoice, right? So that's our hope, is that godly men and women will be in office and help bring about God's rule in our nation. So that's our desire. So if you could, everybody could be a part of that, then I'd love for you to do that. And again, just give us a call at our office. By the way, that phone number is 727-536-CARE. That's 727-536-2273. And again, it's called the 50-Day Fight. The website isn't quite up to date yet because obviously we're several months away from doing that. So you'll want to give us a call or email us or contact us through our website, sctb.org, which stands for Somebody Cares Tampa Bay. So, well, Bishop, hopefully that gives you a brief overview of what we're doing here in Tampa Bay. And, of course, I'm open to any questions or any statements or responses.
Absolutely. Folks, press star 6 to get in queue to ask any questions you might have. Let me kick this off by asking for, first of all, for people who say, well, I really want to plug into that because prayer is critical, how would the average person be able to engage with you? Will they be able to see something on Zoom, live stream it to wherever they would go to see it live stream? I mean, how exactly is this going to work for the average person who wants to plug in?
It is a live stream, so we'll be live streaming it. If you're someone who would like to pray, so obviously you can pray and be in the background and be watching and praying along with us.
Right.
But someone who would actually come on to Zoom and be one of the prayer leaders there, then that would be, we do ask them to fill out some information so we can have a little bit of a vetting process. And then, of course, we would give you a different access to come on and pray with us on that particular day or days.
And this is going to be happening every day for 50 days.
Yeah, well, we are going to – actually, what we're doing this year is that we are going to be praying throughout the week, Monday through Friday, and then we're going to be on Saturday and Sunday, for those who couldn't access it, we're encouraging them to go back through the recorded prayers and days will be on our website, and people can pray along with those days. So with the exception of the weekend, now an exception to that is, of course, we're going to open on Sunday, September 15th, and we're going to close on November 3rd with you. so that'll be two Sunday evenings will be special live streams to kick it off and close it.
Okay, beautiful, beautiful. And it'll be live streamed to the Somebody Cares website as well as other places?
Yes, there'll be multiple sites where it's going to be, we'll be having other things other than your traditional Facebook and so forth, for obvious reasons, you know. So,
right, obviously. Okay, if they follow you, go to Somebody Cares, the Somebody Cares website. They'll be getting updated information on all this time as we get closer.
And they'll be able to send us an email, and we'll respond to them. We'll have Melissa in our office. She'll be the one who is going to be putting the prayer teams on a daily basis together. So absolutely. And again, any information they know from their state's perspective, we encourage them to let us know about that because, it's just really difficult to get to know all the different candidates and so forth. So any help in that regards would be greatly appreciated.
Sure. Okay, so my second question is, talk a little bit about, because I see a tension between two things, and this is playing out in the Christian community. Those who think, well, this is a spiritual thing, and all the politics doesn't belong in the church, and we shouldn't be talking about politics, and we shouldn't be talking about candidates, and we shouldn't be talking about parties, and we just need to pray. And those who say, well, look, all the prayer is great, but, we need to be out there. We need to get active. We need to be involved. I mean, there's a balance between the two, isn't there, Daniel?
Oh, well, yeah. And, do both. Hello.
You know,
be involved and pray. We got to realize that people are waking up to the fact that, it's really – gone beyond being Democrat and Republican. It's really just good versus evil now. And, we have to be engaged. I personally have to stand before the Lord, in this day and time. And if you're to ask, what did we do? I think that to do all that we can, and it's not about saving America, but it's being a good steward of liberty that this country has provided for us to share the gospel through to the nations, and we understand that the purpose of our country is to do just that. That's why, quite frankly, that's why almost 10 million people have crossed our borders. They're not looking to get in. They're not looking to get into any other country. So, if we want to preserve this in such a way, then we have to. It's a fight. Because Satan hates the fact that we are the key distributors of liberty and especially faith in our Lord Savior Jesus Christ. So if we believe in that and we want to keep that, then we have to fight for it. And that means, yes, practically getting out and getting involved in your local government. For instance, you know, one of the things that we were able to do, we were able to elect a Christian mayor for the city of Clearwater. Here I'm in the Tampa Bay area, and two city council members. You know, Scientology is
praise God.
So two Christians are on additionally onto city council. We have three school board members who are, which we, the five of us pastors, sat down for over 2 hours and vetted them, made sure about where they stand. And three Christian ladies who are running for school board, if they get elected, which I believe they will, if they get elected, that means that we're going to have the majority. We'll have five believers out of seven on the school board, which means, quite frankly, I believe that we're going to preserve and or help to change thousands of kids' lives, because they're not going to be indoctrinated anymore. All that literature and, you know, this CRT and all these things that are trying to be, you know, to invade our schools will not be allowed in our schools. And so with the help of the electing these people. So that's why elections are important, because it can definitely impact lives here. And so that's why we need to be involved. If you care about your children's future, you need to be involved and you need to pray. And so I just, man, I don't know how else to say it.
You know? Amen. Look, I think it's obvious, but we know people, these people use things to hide behind. They use things to try to avoid taking responsibility for what is going on. So let's get to another controversial issue, which I'm sure you've had to confront. I certainly have on numerous occasions. Christian nationalism, that, you know, we Christians getting involved in politics and we're Christian nationalists and we're the equivalent of Nazis. We're xenophobic. We're racist. We're this, we're that. And because, yeah, we know what the game is all about. But again, there are some Christians who somehow see this as a legitimate critique, a legitimate threat, Christian nationalism. Like we're trying to impose Christianity on everybody in the country, and what we want is a dictator who will order everybody to be Christian. I mean, that's the sort of the image that they paint of our involvement in politics. And of course, we know nothing could be further from the truth. What's your take on all of this?
Well, you know, my take is, you know, you deal with it on a one-on-one individual basis, and we know that's the game of the media and the left, is to clump everybody in,
right?
You know, rebrand everything, rename everything, come up with, you know, and try to just put everybody in one basket. So the main thing that we can do is that, know your stuff and just say, name one. Hello? Name one instance here. You know, help me. Name one instance. I mean, that's the real deal, is that they want to generalize. They want to do the sound bites and everything else so that people grab on it, take it, because, you know, their hearts are not right, you know. And we know that. So they want to lean that way. They want to bash, or they want to do this and that and the other. And so they're quick to grab onto something like that, and of course the media especially knows that. And so the thing that we have to do is continue to be consistent, number one, and then number two, be very direct in in answering, or asking them to answer, in fact, where there is such instances and so forth, and just try to be as informed as you can so you can answer them and be very direct with them in pointing out, in a very loving way, Aaron,
right,
you know,
right.
So I mean, that's the thing that I believe. So, because I think you know, like you just said, I mean, it's absurd. I, for the most part, there are maybe, again, you have small factions and they try to paint the whole group or something like that. That may be a tendency to go that way. Some extremists or whatever, but as we know, there's extremists everywhere, right?
We represent the Lord Jesus Christ, not these people who are haters. And I tell Christians, you know, you hold on to your love no matter what they say about you. They can call you a hater all they want. Doesn't make it true. God knows our hearts, and he knows we don't hate anybody, but we do love our country, and we do believe that America has a role in the world, and we want to preserve that role. But it's not because that's not based on hatred of other people. It's just based upon gratitude and appreciation for what God has done for us and the contribution it makes not only to our citizens, but frankly, the contribution it makes to the entire world. Look, we got Dr. Marlene McMillan on, and she always has an interesting insight and comment. Let's take Dr. Marlene.
Okay, thank you. Thank you so much, Bishop. I just appreciate this call so much. And for our author here, our guest, sake, I'm the author of the 40-year plan for refounding America on liberty, because the gospel properly presented leads to liberty, and liberty properly taught makes one hungry for the gospel. What I would like for you to talk to us about, your books, it looks like you've written a lot of books, and what's the best way for people to get them, what's the best book for them to start with, and just tell us more about your books. Thank you very much.
All right. Thank you, Marlene. God bless. This is our final. We're coming into the final few minutes. So, great, Daniel, take some time to respond to that and then to tell people again how to connect with you, and then we'll close out.
All right. Well, thank you. Yes, well, you know, we've written several books, and there's a book on revival prayer called Praying Up a Storm. We have a book on evangelism taken from one Old Testament chapter in Genesis 24 called God's Soul Desire, and then a book on reaching community, through unity, reaching community. And so it's very, very practical about how we as a church get in there and really become relevant to our communities. You've heard it said, perhaps it said, if your church were to leave, would anybody care other than those members? And so we need to make sure that we are really doing the job of being the salt and the light, getting into our communities. And that book is called The Church at Its Best. And so those are just real quickly some of the books. I have another discipleship manual that I've written called Attitudes in Action. And again, so all of these books. And by the way, we've also produced a really great movie called The Favorite. And and my wife and Scrooge, we were up there with you, Bishop, and showing the film. And so it's we're actually coming out with a sequel, The Favorite too. So
looking
for that. Yeah. So
great. And I would recommend that movie to anybody. All the garbage is being put out there. This is a great movie. You'll enjoy it. It's well done, well produced. It's a labor of love, and you believe me, you will not regret the time you spend watching this movie. You'll be inspired and strengthened. So I'm glad you brought that up.
Well, thank you, brother. Appreciate that. Yeah, we just showed it, nationally through Christian Television Network in Guatemala. So it just went out nationally throughout Guatemala. And
praise
so,
God.
Yeah. So people can go watch that on demand through Roku and Amazon Prime and so forth. So, so those books are tremendous. Depending on where you're at, I forgot we did a book on marriage, my wife and I, called Me, Tarzan, You, Jane. So depending on your need or where you're at, we've written several books that depending what your particular need is right now, that they would all work well for your spiritual growth in life. So, you can get all those books. You can go to our website again, SCTB, again stands for Somebody Cares, Tampa Bay, sctb.org, or you can just give us a call at 727-536-2273.
Well, I tell you, as always, Daniel, I am inspired by all that you and your wife are doing. It's all great work, important work, and I really believe it's the work that ultimately is going to lead to redeeming this country back to the values that made America the most prolific nation for the gospel of Jesus Christ in the history of mankind thus far, and probably it'll end that way. And so I just commend you guys for what you're doing. Keep up the good work, and of course, we are glad to be able to support you.
Thank you, brother. I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
All right. God bless you. Okay. So give my love to your wife, and keep working at it. We're here to help. God bless.
Thank you, sir. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Right. Bye-bye now. Well, folks, another great patriot, Let me just take one further step with the stuff of Christian nationalism. You know, we need to know who we are and be clear about that. I don't think that they want to imbue Christian nationalism with a kind of nasty Nazi-like thing. But I say if what you mean is, I believe my country is a providential nation. I believe America was ordained by Almighty God as a land of freedom and hope and opportunity, not to outlaw people of other faiths or to stop people from having other faiths, but so that the gospel of Jesus Christ could go forward without hindrance, without governmental interference and persecution, and where we could live in a land of liberty and prosperity and opportunity and live together as brothers and sisters and fellow citizens, that I am determined to preserve that. If that's what you mean when you say I'm a Christian nationalist, okay, guilty as charged. If you mean I hate people, he hates gays, he hates women because they're over abortion. Yeah, I mean those are all lies. They're xenophobic. They hate foreigners. I mean those are just all lies. Look, I am frankly incensed over what Biden has done in engineering an invasion of our country. But I don't hate illegal immigrants. Now, given my druthers, I deport them. I don't hate them. I love my country, and I know that having an invasion of people like that is unhealthy for America. It's unhealthy for our culture, we're finding out. It's unhealthy for our budget. It's unhealthy for our public safety. It's unhealthy for our national security. I mean, it's just bad on all kinds of levels, which doesn't mean we hate people, but we hate a system that is undermining the stability of our own nation. And we do have a responsibility to our own nation. Let me just give you this analogy. Maybe it will help you. I really believe that the Holy Spirit gave me this. But if you say to someone, hey, look, I've got some issues that I've got to take care of for my home and, you know, providing for my family and so on and so forth that are really a very high priority. And somebody said to you, Well, so you hate your neighbor? You look at them like they were crazy and say, hey, what do you mean hate my neighbor? I don't hate my neighbor. If I can help my neighbor, if I can support my neighbor, I will. But I have a responsibility to my own home first. And if expressing that by threat, you conclude that I must therefore be hateful of the people around me. Well, that's just stupid. But that's what they want to put on us. The Bible says, if any would not care for his own, he has denied the faith and is worse than an infidel. Well, the American people are our own. We are an American family. We are an American nation. We have a responsibility to each other first, which doesn't mean, I mean, my goodness, we've been the most generous nation on earth in terms of helping other nations, other people in other places. So I just wanted to further expound a little bit on that, because we've got to be clear on who we are so that when these criticisms come, we are unmoved. We don't feel like, oh, well, you know, maybe I – no, we don't need to do anything. We just need to keep doing what we are doing. Because, look, let me tell you something, folks. You could put icing on it. You could put a cherry on the top. You could put whipped cream on it. You can dress up the truth that we are proclaiming any way you want. And the people who are opposed to us will never – ever accept it as something offered in goodwill and love and concern about the well-being of others. They'll never do it. I don't care how you dress it up. They're always going to say, it's hate speech. You're a hater. And go through all these. So if you get yourself all twisted up trying to make sure that you're not saying anything in a way that they're going to be unhappy or they're going to be – I mean, you'll never – basically, you will be hamstrung. I mean, we just have to say – what we have to say and do what we have to do, knowing what our hearts are and knowing that the people who are opposed to us are never going to accept it anyway. We need to be concerned about how God views it. God knows that we love other people. God knows we are concerned about the well-being of our fellow citizens. We're even concerned about the people who don't agree with us. God knows that. He knows we're not interested in hurting people and harming people and all of that. So we have to be satisfied and at peace with ourselves that we are doing things in a way that is pleasing to Almighty God, In fact, I have to say, these people, when Jesus went into the temple and whipped out the money changers, they would say, see, he's a hater. But Jesus Christ was love and is love incarnate. But he did what he did because he knew that they had to be shocked into confronting the evil that they were committing. And they had to be made to know that God didn't have any countenance for it at all, that he was not accepting of it at all, that he was not willing to abide with it at all. And he went in there and said, you've made my house a house of thieves, but it's supposed to be a house of prayer. And I mean, he went in there with divine righteous fury. There's a place for that. There's a place for righteous indignation and anger. There's a place for a parent to stand up in a school board meeting and say, you know, you will not be allowed to pervert the thinking of my children and get them all sexually confused. I am not going to put up with that. You are wrong. It is abuse. It is grooming. And, you're homophobic. You're trans. You say what you want to say. But I'm going to stand up for the well-being of my children, and I'm not going to be cowed or intimidated because you don't like it. You don't want me to say it. You don't want me to be able to do it. I'm just not that too bad. So, look, let me say a couple things before, just by way of announcements before I go. June the 11th, our Stand Awards dinner. We hope that all of you listening can come. Our honorees are Brigitte Gabriel, Johnny Hunter, Sandy Rios, Pastor Gary Hamrick, and we're honoring posthumously the late Bishop Dean Nelson, who was a dear friend, did much to serve our country, did much to try to awaken the black community, worked with people all over this nation trying to do good things, passed away unexpectedly at the age of 55 years old. So we're going to give his family and his organization, the Frederick Douglass Institute, the posthumous award, the George Washington Award for taking a stand, because he's certainly one who took a stand, and all of these honorees have. The dinner's going to be at the Cornerstone Chapel, 650 Battlefield Parkway Southeast in Leesburg, Virginia. And it's going to be at 7 p.m. that evening. That's a Tuesday evening. Please mark it on your calendars. The tickets are $125. And if you can't make it, or maybe that's beyond you, but you want to help, just make a donation to the effort. This is our biggest single fundraiser of the year. It does more to contribute to our budget than any other particular thing that we do, and we need everybody's prayers and everybody's support for it. It's the first time we're holding it in a church. We're really excited about that because that's really where we are, and this year we are paying particular attention to creating a more formal stand fellowship of churches and ministries, so it includes ministries as well. We haven't really gotten into that because we've been focused on this dinner. But that's part of what's on the agenda for the rest of this year. Pastor Gary Hamrick is one of those courageous pastors of a mega church that is growing, but he is not mincing words, compromising, backing up, trying to figure out how to protect what he's got. He is being a bold, courageous, forthright preacher of the gospel of Jesus Christ, speaking the truth of God's word. The IRS has already attacked him, trying to take away the nonprofit status of the church because he's a little too outspoken, but they've had to back off because he's got a First Amendment right to do exactly what he's doing, and there's no wrongdoing in him, in anything he's done, but this is what we face right now. So he's getting the George Washington Award for taking a stand because, frankly, very few megachurch pastors today are willing to do that. Most of them are hiding behind their thousands of members and hoping not to offend anybody so that the money keeps pouring in. And I'm not saying all, but many of them, that's where they are, which is why they will never join in with us. They will never support what Daniel Bernard is doing. They will never support Stan because they simply don't want to be seen as taking any stand on issues. In fact, some of them are out there actually saying it is wrong for Christians to take a stand on these issues. Well, then if we're wrong, then Jesus is wrong, and John the Baptist was wrong, and Moses was wrong, and Elijah was wrong, and Nathan was wrong, and Elisha was wrong. So we're not wrong. We're right to do what we're doing, because if the word of God speaks to it, we ought to speak to it. And so we should not be silent where the word of God speaks because we're afraid that that part of the word of God might make somebody unhappy. Too bad. I'd rather you be mad at me now and hug my neck in heaven than to be silent and watch you go to hell. So we've got to speak the truth in love and just let the chips fall where they may. These honorees are certainly doing that. So that's June the 11th this year, 7 p.m. at the Cornerstone Chapel, 650 Battlefield Parkway, Leesburg, Virginia. Hope all of you can come. Spread the word. It's on our Facebook page. It's on our website, standamerica.us. One other quick thing. If you haven't seen the Exodus Now video, please go to our website, standamericapac.us. That's the PAC side, the political side. That's not on the nonprofit side. But go to standamericapac.us. Watch the video. I have gotten some responses on that video that have just been unreal for our friends, very positive responses for our enemies, very negative responses. But the negative responses tell me it must be good. It must be on target. But you check it out for yourself. It is a call to Black Christians to come out of the Democrat Party. In fact, Black Christians and then Black people in general, Black Americans in general, because the Democrat Party has been one of the most destructive forces to ever hit the Black community in this nation. And it is a shame that people keep voting for a party that is killing their babies, uneducating, miseducating their children, creating public safety tragedies all over their communities. I mean, it's really a shame, and they keep supporting these people, and it's time for people to wake up. And I make an argument that I've never made at any length, but you'll see it when you watch it, the argument that I'm making about why they ought to come out and what the Democrat Party really represents in this country, particularly when it comes to Black folks, but when it comes to minorities in general. I mean, it's a scam. It's a scam. And they're using people for their own power and self-aggrandizement and doing nothing for these people. In fact, quite the opposite. They're hurting them. So Exodus Now, the sequel at standamericapac.us. God bless everybody. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.